Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. I am your host, Jess, and you should know that. And if you don't know that, welcome here. I'm so happy to have you. I'm Jessica Zweig, and I have been podcasting for, 6 years. And this podcast evolved about 2 years ago into the Spiritual Hustler. It is a place and a space and a dimension where we go deep on all things business, branding, revenue, leadership, building a team, building a brand, building impact. That's the hustling side of the show. And all things spiritual and magic and divine and conscious and healing and connected and awake and remembered. And I do not believe that those two things are mutually exclusive. If you want to be abundantly successful, fulfilled, impactful on your purpose, you have to be connected to your divine self. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And we unpack all of it here on the show week to week, all in service of the reclamation of the goddess, the divine feminine rising within you, the healing of our planet, the sacred union between masculine and feminine, so that we can come into wholeness and coherence, not just in our businesses and our brands and our bodies, but in the world. Because as above, so below, and we heal the world by healing ourselves. And so I hope that this show has made an impact on you. I hope that this show has helped you come home closer to the wholeness within you. And if this show has impacted you in any way, please make sure that you are subscribed to the podcast on Spotify or Apple, wherever you listen, so you never miss an episode. If you have not yet left a review on Apple Podcasts, Apple is the place to do it. I would be so grateful if you took just a couple of seconds, a couple of sentences, left us 5 stars. It really does help the show grow. And the messages that come through, whether it's through my solos or through our interviews, are so important for the collective to receive. I actually channel my solos. I only bring on the most high frequency guests, as you already know, if you've been listening to the show for a while. And I just feel that it does take a village to create that ripple effect, one ear, one heart, one mind at a time. And so thank you for taking the time to leave that review, to subscribe, to share this podcast with friends, to share it on social media. This particular conversation today is definitely going to be one of those that you want to turn up the volume and open your heart to. I actually have been wanting to have this particular woman on my podcast for 2 years. It just wasn't the time. And for her, more than anything, but also for us, she has been pretty under the radar for most of her career up until recently. And you know, I say this really boldly and confidently, that I would not be the person that I am in any shape or form today without Lauren Henley. Lauren is my coach. Lauren has become my sister and my friend and my co-captain in my business. She is a part of a handful of the programs that I offer, simply because coaches need coaches. And the world in which I play, which I like to say that I'm pretty 5D, if you couldn't tell that by being here, but I'm also 3D, and I really have learned how to work the matrix and win in the matrix and make the matrix work for me. But I am here to play a much bigger game, as you all know, and I know you are too, or you wouldn't be listening to this podcast. And I had heard of Lauren through mutual friends for years and years, and just hadn't felt the call to connect, although she was definitely on my list. I was like, I think I need to meet this woman that Laura and all my friends keep talking about. But I didn't know her. I had no face to the name, knew nothing about her. And I was going through my burnout. I was going through my crises. And I reached out to my friend Tali. We have a mutual friend in our friend Tali Kogan, our stylist, my stylist, our stylist. Shout out to Tali Kogan for this connection. And it was just the right time and right place. And we're going to talk about our very first conversation today and how this relationship began. But the truth is, there are no words to describe Lauren. I'm really grateful that she agreed to come on my podcast to be seen, to share her story. She is definitely unlike anyone you will ever come across in your life in the world of coaches. I believe that she has been keeping herself under the radar, seeding the light workers, liberating her clients into freedom for a reason, because what Lauren brings to the world and what her work really is all about is quite disruptive in the most beautiful and necessary way. And I have never in my life seen someone so deeply in their mastery and integrity as a coach. And she also works in the medicine world, the way that Lauren walks it. And I'm not going to get into all of the details of how we have worked together, the specific moments that really disrupted and changed my life, and how it really truly did lead me here to this version of myself. It wouldn't be possible without her. We're going to get into all of that in the interview. I want to tell you a little bit more about Lauren Henley. She's a transformational leader. She's a consciousness coach. She has over 2 decades of experience in education, leadership development, liberation, and spiritual evolution. Her work is really focused on guiding individuals, relationships, couples, and entire ecosystems into their highest alignment. She is really here to play the eternal game, as she will discuss. And this is really done through disrupting limited paradigms, decolonizing bodies and minds, activating new world systems where all species can thrive, innovate, and experience belonging in right relationship with the life principle. And she's going to explain all of this. She's my dragon. She's going to explain what it means to be a dragon. She is doing revolutionary dragon magic. She's a truth teller. She's definitely the one I call when I am in my own shit. And she is not going to coddle me. And she's not going to tell me how to make it go away or feel better. She's going to hold up a big, beautiful mirror for me to reclaim my own responsibility in what is happening in my life and in my business and in my relationships and my marriage and my friendships. She is a gift for interpreting what she calls the eternal game that we've all come here to play. You didn't just incarnate here in this body for a microcosm of 80, 90 years. If you're lucky, you've actually been coming back time and time again for tens of thousands of lives to realign to truth so that you can break through all the limitations that have been placed upon you to discover your eternal nature and to co-create your life that transcends the matrix programming so that you can co-create a world where your heart remembers that anything is possible. And if you've been following my journey, I think I'd like to say humbly that I am a testimony of that. And I wouldn't have arrived to this experience that I call my life today without Lauren. She has rebranded herself, by the way. She actually joined Feminine Frequency Business School. She was a star student. I love when my coaches hire me to be their coach. She and I talk a lot about reciprocity today, and it's just the best to play with your friends and to help your friends rise, and then you get to help them rise. And she's launched an entirely new model to work with her in a whole slew of offerings that are so beautifully aligned to who she is as the dragon that she is. And so I'm going to leave a link to all of her stuff in the show notes to go check out her website and her Instagram. This is sort of her coming out party, if you will. And I cannot ask my community enough to support her, to reach out to her, to DM her, let her know you heard this podcast, what you took away from it. And if you are feeling the call to play the game, if you are truly invested in your highest evolution, committed and devoted to meeting yourself where you are no longer in coherence with yourself so that you can step into the truth of yourself, Lauren is the one to call. It's kind of a big deal that I'm sharing my coach on this podcast for her and for me, but not just for her and for me, for the women that are going to feel ready to go this deep. That's the big deal that I'm talking about. So if that's you, I see you. I tip my hat to you. I honor you. And I link arms with you, because what Lauren brings is not of this earth. And so without further ado, here's my incredible conversation with my incredible sister, mentor, coach, teacher, friend, and dragon, Lauren Henley.
I'm really excited for this conversation. I know we have so much to unpack. There's so much that you have taught me, and so much of me is because of my friendship and working relationship with you over these last 3 years. And we're going to get into all of the things that we align on and your core curriculum, what you're here to teach humanity, and all the ways you work with people. But I really want to start, Lauren, with your story, because you look at you today and you would never, I had you in my mastermind. You were part of the Seven Sisters. You held that container with me for 6 months. I brought you in as my coach to coach them. That's how much I trust you. And we all went to Avalon together, and we spent a week in the goddess's, priestess's homeland. And all of those women were like, God, Lauren is so amazing. Lauren is like epic. I've never met anyone like Lauren. There was such a huge response and emphatic awe of the way you coach and the way you hold containers and the way you communicate and move. And you had pulled me aside. I don't know if you remember this. And you were like, it's really, really important to me that I'm not pedestaled here, because the person that I have become has taken me so many deaths and rebirths, and it has been so painful. And I don't want to be idolized for my gifts, because this has been hard won. I'm not, I'm paraphrasing. And it really moved me, as many things you say do, because you're so in so much fucking integrity. So I wanted to kind of open with that, because I know you so well. And if you'd be willing to share the journey that you've been on to lead you to become the Lauren that's sitting with me today, because I know it hasn't been easy.
Yeah, thank you. And I just want to thank you for all the things. Our relationship has been so reciprocal, and all the times like you've offered me just as much as I've offered you. So thank you so much. I went back today and I remember that years ago, I wrote this like little blog, and I was like, I'm going to go find that and I'm going to read it. I wanted to kind of tap into her, like that version of Lauren. And, finally today I have so much compassion for her, but and she was writing something along the lines of, I'm fighting to believe that life in the universe could be for me. Somewhere deep inside of me, I know that I believe that could be true, but there's just no evidence. It was really important for me to feel that today of all days, because now I am so deeply in trust that life is for me. And I feel the emotion here. But, basically, I grew up in Florida. Not a lot to say about that necessarily, but when I went to college and I got really passionate about racial justice and wanting to create change, I joined Teach for America, and I moved, 900 miles away from where I grew up. And within about 2 years of living here, I got pregnant unexpectedly.
You were how old?
22. At that time, I was very raised very Orthodox Christian Baptist, conservative. And in my family, both having a biracial child and having a baby out of wedlock were two of the worst things that you could do. And ironically, racial justice continues and has always been so core to who I am, right? So I was disowned by my family. My dad wrote me a letter saying he didn't want to have anything to do with the pregnancy. And thus began this giant fracture between the reality that I had known and then this new reality I was creating. And I often say, my mom probably could have saved me from any choice I had made, but she could not save me from being pregnant. Fast forward, obviously, it's one of the best things that ever happened to me. But basically, from there, I started doing therapy. I realized how much trauma I had actually had in my upbringing. In a trauma group I was in, a guy brought me a book. Just by listening to me talk about my life, he brought me a book called Facing Love Addiction. I read the whole book in one day. I started going to 12-step program the next day, first really hitting bottom in my addiction. I'm a single parent raising, really a single child, raising another child. I'm working 60-hour weeks at an inner city school. Just a lot of chaos, a lot of victim consciousness, a lot of just feeling like life must hate me because, I can't really get moving. But at the same time, I was always like very high achieving, like straight A's. You know, I could make a lot happen, but then my inner world was just always caving in. I was in and out of constant, like really unhealthy relationships with men. I was achieving, you know, like I was always doing well in my career. I was very achievement motivated. But like I remember, for example, one day I didn't have a babysitter, my family, no one to help me. And Taylor got sick and I brought him to school and the social worker like carried him around, you know, the building for me. And like my school really became my community. I also had a lot of fallouts and friendships. Like I was super codependent, super needy, didn't know how to be in a right relationship with my friendships. I had multiple friends break up with me and just really be like, we can't handle this and there's nothing we're receiving from this relationship. And so through the 12-step process, I learned a lot about resentments and amends and really understood that this is when I shifted my relationship with Taylan's dad, because I realized that I'm the common denominator in all of these relationships. And that relationship with Taylan's dad was like probably the first real big transformation that I saw of like when I change, a relationship changes. And as you know, but people listening, he's like one of my closest friends. He's been my number one supporter for me for the rest of my life afterwards. Taylan is obviously the greatest transformation that's ever happened to me. And then from there, I started exploring new spiritual technology, basically. And I went to Bodhi and I started like studying that. And I would like feel like I was going to go to hell because I was raised Christian. I used to teach in Sunday school. And I felt like what I was learning, I was, you know.
And Bodhi, just for everyone listening, Spiritual Center was like a non-denominational spiritual church.
New thought movement. And that like totally opened my mind. And I remember Lola doing a talk about how her grandfather healed himself from cancer using sweat lodges. And I was like, if people believe and just believe they can heal themselves from cancer and heal it, like certainly couldn't I heal my addiction? Like what else is possible when it comes healing? And I just kept pushing the envelope, which led to a psychedelic journey, which I'm sure we'll talk about maybe more in depth. But and then from there, you know, so consciousness coaching. So it just went from like one thing to the other thing to the other thing. And looking back, like on that girl, one thing I can say, because I ended up being a school leader by the time I was 30. You know, I was bringing mindfulness and emotional intelligence and consciousness work into my school, and everyone thought I was crazy.
And you were in the west side of Chicago.
In the west side of Chicago, like full lockdowns, you know, I buried students. It was the most rewarding, most amazing, and most intense job I've ever done. I couldn't do it for like 2 days now. I literally don't think I could do it. But looking back, I'm like, shit, what was coming through you? Like you, all this stuff that you were doing. And also I thought I was crazy because everyone around me was like, focus on grades, you know, focus on test scores. Like, why are you caring so much about how the teacher's emotional stability is and all these things? And so anyways, I say all that to say that like as excruciating as it was, and I felt like I could never get a break for so long, I can look back on her and what was coming through her and through like a lot of like love and grace.
Yeah. Well, that love and grace and embodiment and commitment to responsibility and self-love, that coach and healer that you became was the woman that I met for the first time 3 years ago, almost exactly. And I remember Tali, our mutual friend, Tali Kogan, had been telling me about you for like a year. Like, you need to meet Lauren. You need to meet Lauren. Gina, our mutual friend, was telling me, you need to meet Lauren. Lauren with a Y. I had no idea who you were. And finally, I was, you know, my audience knows my story well. I was in the depths of my crisis, of my burnout. This was about 2 or 3 months before I left for Egypt. And I was going through a death portal. I was really like, had reached the bottom. And I called you. I was like, finally, Tali, like, fine, give me her number. And we texted and we set up a phone call. And I can't believe I'm going to admit this. I was like in my backyard at my old Nashville Airbnb. Like I was fucking smoking a cigarette. I was like, fuck my life. And I get on the phone with you. You maybe said hello. And I was like, okay, so here's what's going on. And I just spewed for 15 fucking minutes straight about what was going on in my life. I didn't even know if you were still there. And when finally I was done, you responded. And I think I even asked you, I was like, are you still there? And you were like, yep. And I just want you to know, I'm really excited for you. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You said that was a fucking response. You were like, I'm really excited for you.
Yeah.
So why did you say that to me?
Yeah, because we have to break down to break through. And, you know, my experience is that life, as I understand it, is always wants more life for us. But there are principles and ways of living that are required for us to experience our highest life, our highest timeline. And so when we start to say, I want something bigger, I want something more, everything that's in the way, all the ways that we're misaligned, like that all has to come forward. So my assumption was life wants more for her. Because if this is what is happening right now, then something better is on the other side of it.
Yeah, I'm tearing up. If you're watching this on YouTube, you should. You should see Lauren's outfit. I'm literally coming back to that moment because you were my lifeline. I don't know if you really know that. I started working with you. And you were in, talk about reciprocity, because you're like, you just got to know me after a 20-minute call. Like, I do this work, but book a session with me for now. Just like, you're in it. If you need me, call me. You really showed me the level of true integrity and service you have for humanity. I was a fractal of that, a piece of that. But we started really working together, and our work got serious. And we worked with medicine. We worked with coaching and integration. And through your eyes, I was able to open up mine. And you've really taught me not only to claim radical responsibility for myself, but like what my responsibility really here is on Gaia. I had heard of Gaia. I had heard of Mother Earth. Like, I'm in tune with nature. Like, we all kind of think we are, and we are. But your lens on her as a being and our relationship with her and how to get into right relationship with her and what that does to getting into right relationship with our lives was really new to me. And you kind of layered on like the flower of life and how everything is connected. And that was a really big breakthrough for me. So can you, I know it's a big topic and we have lots to get through, but I want to start with Gaia.
Okay.
Because I know it's evolved for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think I have to start here, which is the first time I did medicine. Medicine's been a huge part of my own healing journey and why I offer it to so many people. Basically, this woman is kind of a voice of entity and energy, took over my body. She put the consciousness of Lauren, like I felt like my whole identity went in like a little box and like sat in a corner and was just watching her. She turned to my guide and she said, this is too advanced for you. I've got this. And she basically just continued to like tell me all these things about myself, about the universe. She took me into my childhood abuse and showed me all the details of it, but it was so loving. And she showed me a future timeline experience where I was, it felt like 4,000 years in the future in like a parallel universe where there were no life planets in any galaxy across any universe. And we had like tiny pieces of human flesh we were testing, and there were like tiny trees that were like what gold and silver or something platinum, you know, is to us now. And I could feel the desperation for anything life. And the message was basically that that part of me came from the future and came from that experience to try to shift the current timelines towards a future where there are life planets. And that journey, as well as my mentor who trained me in medicine, she just kept pointing to like the earth and the elements. And at that time, I was so like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, where's my latte? You know, kind of thing. And we would journey on the ground. We would journey in the sun. I got to spend a long time in Colorado in a pretty like remote place. And I started to feel her as a consciousness, feel her as a being, like understand that life is this, not only this curriculum, but it's really an algorithm. It's a mathematical set of codes that has these beautiful principles that some part of me that cares a lot about architecting reality thinks is like one of the most brilliant designs that was ever created anywhere through all of time and space. And so Gaia and her, what I now believe and feel connected to is that her design was, what if I create a place where I can bring species from all anywhere in any galaxy, in any universe, any plant, any whatever, and bring them and have them coexist in one place and experience beauty together and experience love together. And so her experiment and her idealism and her design and the way that she's partnered with all these different consciousnesses to create who she is, just all parts of me from every walk of life, from every timeline of who I am, just admires her and thinks she's fucking dope, basically, you know?
Yeah, she's magical. You said something when we were in Avalon together. I don't know if it was with the sisters or if we were just sitting in our facilitator house, but you were like, I don't pray to God. I don't pray to a deity. I don't pray to a goddess. I pray to life. Like the life algorithm, the life curriculum is always masterful. Can you give like context or an example of like what that really means to you and what people can learn from that?
Yeah, the first part, I guess, in 12-step, one of the principles is to find a higher power as you understand that higher power. And a lot of that journey for me was all the ways that I've been conditioned or taught what a higher power was. And so then I'm like, well, what is mine? And then I realized, like, I want to test this. Like, it's not enough to just have faith in something because somebody tells you. Like, I want to actually test this. And I started, this is kind of back to my blog where I was just reading, you know, I was like testing, what if life is for me? There's this book, and the one of the phrases is, what if life isn't just benign but benevolent? And what if everything is happening in your favor? And I'm like, let me test that. Like, I'm going to start testing that. And so, you know, I would take risk. I would make intentions and I would see how it unfolded. And I would keep looking for what are the ways that this is for me. And I have like a mad scientist part of me that's so deep and so old and is always conducting experiments. And so I just keep testing life. And I started getting like praying with life. And I was like, okay, let's test this. What about this? What about when this happens? I started noticing it with my clients and seeing how things had unfolded. So for me, you know, an algorithm, Instagram is what people know the best in my age group, right? Like, you learn how the algorithm works and you play to the algorithm to get in the outcomes that you want. But all, at the end of the day, it's a set of design principles that the people at Instagram have placed as a code into that platform. Well, everything that was ever designed or ever exists at really the 2D and at the level of sacred geometry and math is just a set of principles and code. And so for me and who I am, I'm like, I need, whether I'm talking to you and coaching you, or it's the life algorithm, or it's the design, like, I want to know who programmed this and what did they program into it. And that's what I have been testing with life. And what I have tested is that life, and based on my belief and my experimentation, that life is for us, that every part of the curriculum is very detailed designed, and it is pulling us towards interdependence, not an individualistic algorithm. It wasn't designed so one person or one species can thrive. It was designed to continually calculate how the highest will for every species that plugs into that algorithm. And so, you know, what this looks like is that maybe I really want to manifest something or I really want to create something, but what if it's not the highest will? Like, what if that's actually not the thing, even in my family, maybe for my son? So when I surrender to the life algorithm and let it reorganize whatever it is my intention, and I see what kind of, in my mind, it's almost like a printer, like, here's what's, you know, here's what comes out of it. I tested, like, oh, this is, was the highest will. Even me having my son, getting pregnant, like, I don't think I plugged that into the design for my life. I think life inserted that design because it was the highest will that was going to take me on, gave me the potential for the highest path.
So to give it context with my timeline, right? As you were talking, I was like, my curriculum was Simply Be Agency, part of it, right? And all of that expansion, but all of that contraction and darkness and how fucking miserable that business made me by the end, right? And I was like, deep in the matrix. Like, you would always tell me, like, Jessica, you know how to win in the matrix. You know how to make this reality, this third dimension work for you. Not everybody can. Like, I got that. And then I went to Egypt, and people probably don't know, I don't think I've really ever talked about this, was what my life looked like when I came back from Egypt. Because I had been working with you for a few months and I was like getting into my body, recalibrating my nervous system, rooting into the Gaia, making different agreements, doing yoni steams, like all of the, like, right. Everything started to shift. I started to unplug from the matrix. And when I got back from Egypt, those first like 3 or 4 months, and we were integrating and I was working with you and we were doing medicine, everything actually started falling apart. My marriage, my business, everything about being in Chicago. I was like, and I called you up and I remember being mad at you.
Yeah, everybody gets mad at me.
I know.
100%. It's important. Like they do.
Totally.
Like, you fucked up with my reality.
You fucked with my reality.
Yeah.
I'm fucking pissed. Like, what the fuck did you do to me? I remember that conversation. I remember where I was sitting. I was in my kitchen. And you said, Jessica, this is what happens when you make new agreements, because life is going to reorganize itself and to the highest good of all. And you can't play the solo game anymore. You're here for interdependence. You're living on a planet that requires you to be in a team that is not just your perfectly designed team, but like Gaia's team. And it wasn't until like a year after that, that I saw what that reorganization did for me in my highest good. I had to go through so much pain and dissolution to get there. And so I want you to like interdependence and like versus hierarchy. It's like a sliver of the work that you do, but it's an important one. I think it's very ancient and very feminine in many ways for us to be building businesses. A lot of the women that I work with, you know, are in that world. And we look around and I often say we're like fish swimming in water. We don't even see like the programming of hierarchy, colonization, internalized supremacy. I mean, this is a big part of your work that is very confronting for a lot of people. But I think that it's such an invitation to play a higher game and to exist in a higher timeline that creates not just more peace on the planet, but like peace in your own life. And so can you kind of walk us through what interdependence really means and what that looks like in our lives and businesses and the distinction between hierarchy?
You know, what I'll say first is that interdependence is so foreign to especially like white supremacist matrix culture, I guess you would say, that we can't even imagine it. That's my experience. But I do want to acknowledge that there Native peoples, people of color, people of culture who are really connected still to their, what I believe is their indigenous Gaian culture. I think we even saw it in Avalon, which was also, you know, new for me, like Celtic. Like these were natural, normal principles before another blueprint was laid on top of that. And now it's invisible. Like it was invisible to me. And what I might have thought was interdependence was really just codependence or hyper-individualism, like somewhere on that spectrum. And what I understand about interdependence now and my experience of it is that, one, it takes two whole sovereign beings, or that, you know, people have to experience their wholeness and their own sovereignty to experience interdependence. Because if you don't know your wholeness and sovereignty, you will become dependent. You will, or you can be taken advantage of because you don't exist as whole. That's one of our greatest fears about feeling dependent on someone else. A small child, like an infant, is dependent. Zoe, your dog, they're dependent. They need you to feed them. They need you to walk them. Like, there is a reality where dependence is not some kind of like horrible thing. You know, we do need each other. But what does that interdependence look like from a place of like wholeness and balance and harmony? And it's not always going to be totally reciprocal and totally equal. It's going to get out of balance. What do we need and what do we use to get things back into balance? How do we navigate conflict in those types of situations? And so you talked about, you know, hierarchy. And the way that helps me think about it the most is, you know, I had the privilege of going to the Amazon rainforest for 18 days. And, you know, the tribes that I met are indigenous to that area. They have not been colonized. The ones that I specifically spent time with, this Sapra tribe, you know, they have a medicine man. They have roles. It's not that they don't have roles. It's just that one role is not more important than another role. Every single role, from the person who cleaned the bathroom to the cook, everything was, you're mutually beneficial. Everyone gets, when they get paid by the people who come there, it gets equally distributed among the needs of the tribe. And their relationship is not to domination. They're not trying to dominate or control because they don't see that there's a scarcity of resources. They're like, everything I need is in the forest. And right now the forest in their world is plentiful. So why would they feel like I got to get ahead of this person, or I better get more resources than this person? So that person, that's not in service of them, because they see everyone in the tribe. And in some ways they are their relatives. So it's like, I want everyone to thrive. I want everyone to feel like they belong. And so without that like scarcity survival energy, if we actually trust that we have enough, you know, if we trust that we're being provided for, that everything is for us, if we feel like we have the skills to be relational, then interdependence to me is just like two cups of water that are just like moving back and forth between each other. And like, you know, sometimes this water goes in that jar and this water goes in that jar. And sometimes it's just fully individually in the jar. And so that's, and so now like so much of the invitation in my reality is like, if I want humanity to survive, if I want the earth to survive, everyone to experience a future where they can thrive, innovate, and experience belonging, I have to first live that out. And then second, I have to imagine it collectively. And how do I collectively imagine? The same way two little girls play Barbies in their living room. It's like, this, you're going to be Jessica and I'm going to be Lauren, you know? But it's like, no, what it, let's imagine a new world. Let's imagine a new blueprint for money. Let's imagine the future where humanity can thrive. Let's imagine a future where ecosystems can thrive. And this collective imagining was really introduced to me by Adrienne Marie Brown, which, you know, through some of our work together. And so that is really a big part of what I'm doing now, is like, I test it, I work out the kinks, I understand how it shows up in a human life. And then I'm basically kind of like recruiting or attracting people who want to collectively imagine it with me.
Let's go. All right, sisters, let me ask you a question. Are you finally ready to sync your inner rhythm and system with the wisdom of the earth and the cosmos? I am so excited to introduce you to Microflow, the cleanest, most high vibrational magic mushroom microdosing supplements on the market. I have been taking them for the last 3 years, and they have completely altered my consciousness, shape-shifted my body, expanded me into infinite abundance, and healed my nervous system. They are 100% organically grown, third-party lab-tested, Reiki-infused, and intentionally formulated by renowned root cause health expert Christy Nault, making Microflow the only microdose supplement on the market that is cycle syncing and designed to support the female nervous system. The Exude and Surrender bundle is a beautiful entry point. Rotate them with your cycle or the moon like I do. This bundle includes Exude for heart-opening, radiant, expressive energy that I love to take during my follicular and ovulation phases, and Surrender for softening, deep nourishment, and inner reconnection during my luteal and menstrual phases. These blends help you drop out of your head and into your heart and truly embody your divine feminine essence. Now, if you're looking to go a little bit deeper into ceremony, healing, and 7D consciousness, the Theta blend made with sacred blue lotus is for you. Now, there's a bonus. When you get the Theta blend, you'll get access to Christy's full ceremonial recordings with your purchase. Microdosing is the future, you guys. It isn't about getting tripped out or bypassing yourself spiritually. It's about coming home to your body, to your soul, and to your truth. I cannot recommend Microflow enough. I have dabbled with other supplements throughout my life, and nothing has truly recalibrated my entire system with feminine ease the way that Microflow has. It has truly changed my life, and I want this for you. So go to microflowhealing.com and enter code Jessica10 to get $10 off your order. That's microflowhealing.com and enter Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order.
We're going to talk about how people can work with you. I mean, there's many ways they can. You know, as you were talking, like, I think you know this. I don't know if you'd really know this, but the whole chapter in my book, The Lightwork, called Gaia, You Inspired.
Mm.
I wrote in the acknowledgments, like, about you, my dragon. Like,
I did read the acknowledgments. It's really special to me.
Yeah. You're encoded in the lightwork. And I went to the Amazon too, and I talked about how it broke me open. I talked about, you know, the statistics on, like, pollution and pillaging and, like, farming and just what we're doing to our oceans and, like, the real tragedy of how we're abusing Gaia. And I also talked about the real dis-ease that we're experiencing in humanity at such a mass scale, being rooted in the fact that we are unrooted. We live in, like, concrete jungles and steel cases and glass buildings, so deeply disconnected to those lush rainforests that you were talking about in that tribe that you saw in Amazon. And I want to take this into the eternal game, because I feel we get so stuck in the matrix. We're so dysregulated in our nervous systems. We are not living in these deeply harmonic societies and cultures. It's like everyone for themselves. We're, I think, not this community listening, but at large, really hooked into a hierarchical construct of every man for themselves. And this is nonetheless causing such myopic personal instability and struggle and pain. And we haven't only lost the plot, like, on planet Earth, but we've lost the plot, I think, in the timeline. And so the eternal game is a game that you play. And when you first introduced that to me, it took, like, a whole fucking presentation about it. But, like, if we can, because I think my intention in asking this question and going there is that it opens up people's minds, yes, but it also brings people peace.
Right. I get it. I just want to say one quick thing about what you just said. You know, one of the reasons I said to you, I'd never want to forget who I was or what I went through, being an addict, being a single parent, just being someone in total victim consciousness, is because I always want to be able to empathize with people suffering. And I always want to remember that, like, I just didn't know any better. There was no one to show me a better way. And when they did, I took it. And so I think that in terms of where we are in humanity right now, you know, there's so much that there's so many payoffs by just continuing to judge each other and hate each other. And I can get angrier than anybody about, you know, certain things. So I'm not trying to say I'm not all peace and love all every moment, but I'm like, if I can't, you know, see my difficult relationship with my mom through the eyes of love, if I can't see the people around me through the eyes of love, if I'm not willing to work out my own issues in my community, it's just going to keep we're just going to keep judging and judging and judging until we realize that if we saw a better possibility, if we felt it in our bodies, if we healed our survival strategies, and the part of us that's just an animal that's been in jail, that's been imprisoned in a zoo, that hasn't barely gotten enough to eat. You know what I mean? Like, if we healed that, we would all want what's best for everyone. But I have seen that over and over and over again. And some of the, what you would call the worst cases are, even as a principal, I was always the teacher that was like, give me the hardest kid. Sometimes they would transfer staff from other schools to my school because they were like, we believe this person could be a good teacher, but we're ready to give up on them. Can you, you know, like, so that's kind of just who I am. It's like, give me the hardest, give me the margin, give me the edge, and help me figure out how to, like, bring it into the fold. And so to the eternal game, and this idea of how does this support humanity and the planet to understand that life, we're playing an eternal game and not a singular game. So eternal just means, to some degree, like, never ending, ongoing for eternity. Most of us live in a reality where we're like, I get 70 to 80 years, maybe, and then it's over. And I don't really know what happens after that. Well, in my initiation, in my process, in my experience through journey work, like, I access my eternal self, and she knows without a doubt that this game goes on, and it just gets more complex. So one example is, like, I tell people, like, think about the person that you love more than anyone on the planet. And imagine if you died in this life and you woke up in the next life and you remembered all of this life that you just had, and you went looking for them. And that was the first thing you did. And when you found them, they were a homeless person on the street, with some kind of like schizophrenia, and they yelled at you and they wanted you to get away from them, and they had no idea who you are because you're in a different body. They don't even recognize you. They have no memories of you from the past life. Like, that's what it feels like to be eternal. Those are the complexities of being eternal. It's like, I have had met people in my life and I remember them and they don't remember me. Or we didn't finish stuff from the life before and we had to pick up where we left off. And so, you know, what does that mean? It means you keep coming back to this planet. If you destroy it, then you have to keep coming. And there's a collective part of the game where we're all responsible. You know, just like you have to pay your taxes because you live in a city, like you don't get to just check out of the collective consequences of the decisions that we've made, even if you're trying to make the best decisions that you can. And so, you know, it's so complex. I could go, you know, I could talk about this forever, but like in terms of our identities, how we identify, how we, you know, you could have been an abuser in one life and the victim in another life. It starts to get so, so complex, but it changes how you see every choice that you make. It changes your willingness to take responsibility and to take it earlier, because I'm like, I'm not trying to do this next time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I want to start this awareness. And how do I hold on to these memories and these learnings and this evolution as I continue to move through eternity?
Yes, girl. And that alone has given me a total reframe on not just the magic of this human experience and like what a gift it is to be in this body for this very small amount of time, but through the conflict and the pain of being in this body and really looking at every relationship, because it really comes down to relationship. Like,
the curriculum really is relationships. Like, the life curriculum, whether it's an ecosystem and a rainforest or a set of humans or a set of animals or insects, it's always relational.
And how do you, what just came to me is like, if everything is curriculum, people really hate that term, like everything happens for a reason.
Yeah.
Perspective on that.
Or like what?
Like if something tragic happens, if something fucked up happens, if like someone gets into a car accident or like gets cheated on, or, you know, things that feel like really horrific in the moment or destabilizing or blindsiding, like it's the real work. Yeah. But what is your...
Well, I mean, the first thing is like we have to think about like, what is this that I'm even doing? Why am I here? Why was reality created? Why do we come into a human body to begin with? Whose idea was that? What was the point of it? What was the design, right? The design was that all these species could come and share a mutual reality, breathe the same type of air, because on other planets and other galaxies, like you can't, for example, you can't be a Pleiadian and Arcturian and just show up at each other's planet and like make that work. Like the speed, everything about it is, you know, totally different. So what if we could all come to like a place and put on a suit and have a shared experience to evolve and to become more aware? And ultimately to experience more balance and more reciprocity and more interdependence. So then we are different when we go back to our said place. And so if someone breaks up with you, for example, and you have to, it's an invitation to see the ways that you were over depending on them for your self-worthiness, or how you had expectations of the universe, or how you were out of alignment. The curriculum is inviting you to more understanding of your own wholeness, more love, more abundance. Ultimately, that's where it's trying to take you. And, you know, really in the narcissism, honestly, of our humanity and how important we all think we are, you know, and how we, and our addiction to comfort, it's like, none of these things should ever happen to me, you know? And there's like a fragility that we've created in the curriculum that you're not going to see from animals. You're not going to see from trees, you know? There's just more of a piece, but part of what humanity is experiencing with is like, we don't like the curriculum. We want to do our own thing. We want to figure out, we want to prove that we can create something. And that, at the end of the day, that's what the Matrix is. It's just this blueprint that said, you know, we don't like being at the effect of tornadoes, and, you know, we don't like having to go like get treat. What can I create? How can I play this game in the way that makes me safe and me comfortable, that makes me predictable? But it's very self-focused in that way. And it really lost what is the design, which is the interdependence.
You're a dragon. Let's go there.
OK. Okay.
I want to ask you, what is a dragon? Why do you identify as a dragon?
Yeah, that's such a big piece. Well, I would say that I started getting messages about being a dragon before I had any idea what that meant. And I was like, that's cool. Dragons are cool. You know, someone in my life who I care about very much, who experiences himself as eternal and who was kind of like a big opener for a lot of things that I understand now. He was like, you're a dragon. Like, he would say that to me and I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I did a hypnosis experience. And I was like, I want to know my origin. Because you have all these people, like, we know you identify as Pleiadian and all these people that have some kind of, and I could not connect to like a core. I had memories of different lifetimes, but what is my core? And the first place they took me was like this hall of dragons. And it looks so stereotypical, like so goth, you know what I mean? Old books. Like, I had me pull this book off the shelf of the Book of Dragons and look at it. And then I'm like, well, what is that? You know, what does that mean? Like, I'm a flying creature. Then they showed me like the beginning of, let's call it the Big Bang to keep it simple. And sound and light, you know, were created. And then they showed me that these codes were created. And it was called the Dragon Code. And it was so that everything that got created after sound and light and vibration, that there was something weaving it all together and supporting the integrity of everything that ever was created. And so while I think that dragons have existed and, you know, they are, can be mythical creatures, at the end of the day, I think that it's a frequency and a consciousness that is here to, and can in its awareness travel to, like if I journey someone, wherever they are in consciousness, I can go there and I can see it with them. And I think the reason for that design is that I can go anywhere in my awareness. I have that access. And the reason is to support it to be more integrative, more integral with other places in awareness that, you know, so you basically have one person, you know, traveling. It'd be like traveling city to city and telling, okay, this city's doing this. This city's doing this. How can we like work together better? Because you're just staying in your city and you're just staying in your city. So like, we're going to now weave together. And that's what I believe the dragon codes are. I think truth and integrity are core to dragon codes.
I'm really glad I asked that question. Because you are, you're my dragon. We have matching rings. We have a text thread. Like, we're, your dragon code in my life has changed everything. And I want to ask you, because I know people listening are like, how do I work with Lauren, like a dragon in my life? And there's such a multidimensional way you work and you do quite a bit.
I am definitely in a transition around my own identity and how I express who and what I do. Because and also feeling like I can be protected, you know, because so many things that I do can be like really risky. And you know, that I want to say before I transition to that, that like the gift that you've been in my life, and I can't really talk about this even without Tally, without like all of our friends, you know, but at the time that I met you all, and I remember you specifically, I had learned all these things. I had even been trained in all these things, and everything had broken down. And I'm like, none of this is crazy, and none of this is ever going to matter or have any meaning. And I don't know what I'm doing. And Tally and Megan, like, coming to me. And then when I would work with you, being like, this shit is crazy, you know, this is so valuable. And then the layer of like, then we also became friends. And we're like, I literally feel like I can just be my little girl self with you, you know, like that we can be like paint our nails and, you know, just like you would be the one that we'd be dancing in a tiara and like putting on a unicorn outfit. Like, that is what got unlocked, which I think is your code of sisterhood, right? And even before you knew that was like your code, right? And so I just want to thank you and appreciate you and our women that we are sisters with. For seeing and reflecting back to me, even in this moment, that who I am and what I am is worthy and is important and should be in the world. Because one thing, I feel like there's a way that my particular consciousness right now is in the top 1% of And I don't mean that as like smarter or brilliant, but just like there aren't a lot of people touching this place and I don't come into contact with them for sure, right? And so anytime that you look at someone who is on a margin of anything and you say like you belong and you matter and you're not only valuable, but you can support the collective that you don't feel like you're a part of, that's like such a healing thing. And so, yeah, and I just am really marking this moment as such, you know, so many conversations, so many things that we've had, like to get to this moment where I actually believe that about myself too. So just thank you. Love you.
I love you. Thank you. You know, it's hard to describe you. And I'm so grateful you came on my podcast so that we could go deep and you could describe yourself and people can get to know you in this way. Because I really try and like, I explain you. I'm like, I can't, like, there's, Lauren's not of this earth. Like, there is no one Lauren. There's only one Lauren. There's no one like her. And I cannot express enough, like, you know, what a honor it is to have you on my team, my spirit team. You working in my business. You always say like, I fuck with you, Jessica, because you fucking do the work and, you know, take the feedback. And I've quantum leaped, you know, in so many ways because of that, because of you. So I know you're here to do big work, and I know you've already done big work, and you've had some transitions in your business and what you're focusing on. And I know that this is a new era for you. And I want as many people that are ready and willing, to really step up to this like eternal plate that you, the game you play, it's not for everyone.
Right. It's not for everyone. I think that's the piece, but I want the signal to be out and I want those who do feel called. And, you know, the thing that I'm really learning is that probably my most aligned clients are the people that they're actually really successful. They're doing pretty well, but they're having evolutionary experiences that they cannot explain. Their life is so complex, their relationships are complex, or they're starting to do psychedelic journeys and they cannot make sense of what's happening. Or internally, externally, they're successful, and internally, they're totally struggling. They don't know how to align their life, or they're trying to manifest something and they can't create it. And also, I think, you know, you talk about the difference between client and community. I think my community are the women like me who didn't have anyone to point them to the possibility that life could be for them, you know? And I think that then when I work with the person, like I am analyzing their curriculum, I'm analyzing their blueprints, I get a lot of intuitive data and insight that I can't explain. I think of it as like being an oracle in the life curriculum versus like in the matrix. The oracle is who he goes to help him when he gets stuck in the matrix. And I think I'm the person that you go to when you're like, I don't know what the F life is doing. It doesn't make sense. And I want a collective future where we all can thrive, you know? And so I think generally speaking, like through my Instagram, through my website, I ask that people set up a Kim call. And because chemistry is so important, resonance is so important. And I really have, what I'm learning is like kind of these gates. So the first gate would be like some coaching and some one-on-one and some different opportunities to work with me. And then my highest gate is through journey work and also like group practice, because the women, and it feels like I have male clients for sure, and I'm open to that, but it's a lot of women. It's like to practice the principles of interdependence, for example, you really have to do it in a group. And this is what we saw in Avalon. Like Avalon was the highest expression, I think, of my gifts in some ways, because there's ceremony, but there's also like, I'm going to point you to this possibility of this different paradigm and the different way of being, and we're going to practice it together, and we're going to go through the discomfort and what comes up, and we're going to face it, because wouldn't you rather do it that way? Wouldn't you rather have like a practice ground that isn't as high of stakes to like work through conflict, to work through your triggers, to work through, you know, the ways that we're still codependent or hyper individualistic, and have like this community that says, we all want to do this together. We all want to learn this together. And we're going to hold space for that together before we go out in the world, you know?
That's why I love co-creating with you. I mean, that's what you just said is
So for those that aren't aware, I have a mastermind that I do once a year for only 7 women. And when I birthed this idea, I was like, I need Lauren. Like, I need Lauren to be a co-coach with me. And I give a lot of props to those 7 women that jumped in because they trusted me to trust you. And the way that all came together and how massive of an experience that was. And we're doing it again next year. You're going to come to Claim Your Light. You're going to be at my retreat in Sedona. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for even more to play with you.
Right, around the work. With the journey work, which is medicine plus coaching, you know, one thing we didn't touch on, I want to talk briefly, is around upgrading the bodies, right? And how, what I say is that most of our bodies were in like a 1980 Mac with no Wi-Fi, but we're playing a game that is like 2025, like newest Mac, you know, newest Mac software available. Like, we have to have the tools and the healers and the codes to upgrade our bodies to play the life game. And there's literally a design to keep us in these 1982 Macs with no Wi-Fi, feeling miserable, believing that we're going to die from our sickness. You know what I mean? Believing that this is just normal to be this sick and this unhealthy, because we, as long as our bodies are sick or are out of integrity, out of alignment, we cannot fully see the game for what it is. So I just want to add that both, that's something that's so important to me because I see bodies as the cell of Gaia. And so as healthy cells, we support her ecosystem, but also because it's so integrated into the work I do, is like, what is your relationship with your body and your own ecosystem?
I just want to say one last thing before we move to my final quick fire questions for you on the note of medicine, because I'm open about the fact that I work with it. And I'm also intentional about talking about it because I unfortunately have had some bad experiences where I wasn't held in a container of light, a container of integrity, a container of safety, a container of, you know, cleanliness. All that to say, if you're listening and you are feeling called to do any kind of medicine work at all, whether it's with Lauren or not, ensuring that the person holding the space is of the utmost integrity, immaculate energy and cleanliness, and there for your healing. And I just want to triple fucking stamp that that is you. And there is no one else I have ever worked with that I trust that has really been the embodiment of integrity. And I've never felt safer and more held. And I just want to highlight that for anyone that is feeling called, because there's good reason to be discretional.
Right.
And there's, you know, Lauren, you're different. So I wanted to just say that.
You. And I mean, it was hard one. And I learned through a lot of my own, you know, ultimately how we're in relationship in groups is also how we hold any container or with our partner, our kid, is the same way that we hold containers with anybody else. And so I what I'm grateful for is the way that life, through my initiations, that when they were happening, I was like, life hates me. Why is this happening? Why would life make me have this? You know, why would I have to lose these relationships? Why would this? It was a constant initiation. I feel like life holds me to a really high standard. I'm like, no, that's not good enough, babe. Like, you can't have this thing. You can't create this that you want to create until you prove that you're willing to hold in this way. And now I can see why, because I get such privileged access, you know, to who someone is, that I have to be able to really, really hold that on multiple levels.
You're a dragon. You're a master dragon.
Thanks.
Final quick fires. Do you have a favorite spiritual book?
The Surrender Experiment.
Do you have a favorite business book?
Emerging Strategy.
Cool. Okay. We have a spiritual hustler bookshelf, so we're going to add this to that. I know you pray to the life algorithm, but do you have a favorite goddess or favorite deity or archetype?
I think Segment is a badass.
You are. So look at this. Leo.
I think she has a lot to teach me.
Same. I know this answer. It's so stupid to ask you, but like, I ask everyone, do you believe in aliens? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
I'm looking at one. Last question, Lauren. What does it mean to you to be a co-creator of the new earth?
I think it's like the greatest privilege that could ever be bestowed on anyone, to and a great responsibility, that what I choose, how I choose to think, the frequency I hold, what comes out of my mouth, what I write, what I create, will exist for eternity. And that will affect so many beings across so many timelines. And so that it means responsibility. It means privilege. It means consciousness. It means accountability. Because, you know, we have plenty of examples, both as individuals and as a collective, of how being out of right relationship with those things like turned out for people and continued far after they died. And I just, while I don't expect myself to be perfect, I do want to know that everything I seeded was aligned to values that I believe support those in the future to benefit from what I am seeding now.
Lauren Henley, thank you for playing the game with me.
Thank you for playing the game with me. It's a fun game.
It's a fun game to play. Even more fun with you. I love you.
Love you.